week, something, whoops, came to me, and I thought to myself, well, I reckon that would be good. It's Trinity Sunday, three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And at Pentecost, when they were all together in one place, which we are, the Spirit came down, and there was a mighty whooshing wind, and the Spirit came down as if it were like flames on their heads. Well, can't afford to lose much of my hair. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if we could have some different versions of the Bible? So I got in touch with Christine and Amy, and we are going to read the same reading, but Christine's going to read it in French. Amy is going to read it, I had to ask her because I wasn't sure, in Cantonese, and I am going to read it in English. And Stephen came in earlier and he said, how are you going to do it? Are you going to do it all together? I said, yes, that's the point. We're going to do it. So if you two would like to come and join me, please. And we're going to read from John chapter 17. And we're going to read verses 1 to 10. And then we're going to read 24 to 26. Yeah. Okay, so listen up, good people. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
Ready.
Sorry about that. Right. John chapter 17. After Jesus said this, he went to heaven to say, Father, when time has come, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I have revealed before the world began. I have revealed to you not yet those who you gave me out of the world. They were sealed. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted me. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. Father, I want those you have given to me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. The glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. In righteousness, the world does not know you. I want it, and they know that you are sent to me. I have made you known to them, and it will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them.
Thank you.
Thank you. How was that for you? I found it quite hard, actually.
Yeah,
you did. Because I could hear Christine and I could hear Amy. Who did you hear most, Gary?
Well, both of you, really.
Yeah, so you could hear the English and the Cantonese.
Yeah.
I did say to Gina, I would have asked if she had her German Bible and could have read to us. How about anyone else? How was that for you? How did you feel?
I heard the scripture in a sense that it sounded like you're both what would grieve you from the same text.
Synchronized. Yeah. Believe me, we have not practiced. We didn't practice at all. I just told, Christine told me the reading that Stephen had chosen, and I emailed Gary and Amy and told them.
Stephen, over to you.
I'm set up to win, aren't I? Because as long as I speak clearly, you can all hear every word. As opposed to the last few moments. Today is Trinity Sunday, and I finally get my opportunity to preach on the Trinity. Last year I was leading the service on Trinity Sunday, and remember who the preacher was? It was our local vicar. Simon Stevenette. When I say the word Trinity, the Holy Trinity, I wonder what sort of emotion, what sort of reaction it provokes. Is it one of, oh yes, what a wonderful, glorious, warm doctrine? Or is it, oh dear, what a nuisance that Christianity is so complex and we have to try and explain this to people. Doesn't it have the risk of turning them off right from the start, trying to understand how three is one, one is three, and it's terribly important. But actually, I've had a lovely week, and Friday was the day when I took Christine to LL. I think that's the right day, isn't it? It was Friday. And I spent the day there preparing this message about God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, and seeking truth that would be relevant. And I chose this passage, John 17, that at least you've heard the title of it and various bits of it, the beginning and the end, because this illustrates in a wonderful way, the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. And what I'd like to just unpack a little bit is how this is very wonderful for us, and how it's not a mystery that causes us confusion, but it's a wonder that makes us realize that God is not only wonderful, but also beyond our understanding. But the things that it does show us are great. So God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And by the way, if I ask you to think of God, or picture God, or imagine God, or form an impression of God, I wonder how each of you would process things inside your head and your heart. Because it's an interesting fact that each of us tends to have a different way of perceiving God, visualizing God, hearing God, and for some of us, at times, God the Father is an image or a description which is particularly meaningful, and for some of us, Jesus, particular window on God, is especially useful and valuable, and at other times, the Holy Spirit, as the way God manifests and influences us, is in a way the most meaningful and touching description. And you see how I'm searching for words to describe something which is virtually indescribable. But on Friday I was privileged to spend the whole day in the library at LL Pierpont just working through this passage, meditating, worshipping God, seeing what I could draw out of Jesus and his relationship with his Father. Because, of course, that's a big key, is that Jesus had a relationship with his Father, and that's the key for us in relating to God. And what's wonderful is that it's the fact that God comes in these three persons that makes him so adorable and possible to connect with him, and making actually all his ways beautiful. And the fact that he's not just a single self-loving self-serving entity actually enables us to connect with him. John 17 is a wonderful clue. Now, I'm going to do a visual aid that you'll have never seen before, and hopefully by God's grace you'll never see again, showing a picture. And now, let's choose two chairs that face each other. Because there are many illustrations of the Trinity that have been proposed to us, all of which are deficient in many ways. And this is deficient in many ways also. So, if I place two watering cans facing each other, and I consider the bucket. We heard about the bucket list today, didn't we? 50 things before you're 50. Put the bucket in the middle. Because the starting point with God in Scripture is not actually that he's almighty. It's not actually that he's... how can I put this carefully? The most fundamental thing about God is not that he's the creator. The reason I say that is because God was God before he created anything. So being the creator doesn't create a function for him. Doesn't create something fundamental about him. He was already fully himself before he made anything. And what he was before he made anything was the Father. And I've chosen a watering can because that's an image, very poor image, of a fountain. Produces water and pours out water. God is fundamentally the Father of the Son. So before all eternity, in all eternity, Father and Son is the description of God. And why do we say Father? It implies a relationship, life-giving, outgoing relationship. So within God is relationship already. Before he even thinks, or no, we can't say that. Before the world comes into being with us in it, God is already relating in love. And he's pouring his love and his life and his goodness into someone else who is receiving it fully and pouring it back at the same time. There's wonderful mutual giving and receiving. The initiative is regarded as with the Father, hence the name Father. The response is regarded as the Son. But it's a circle. And there's another person there who's pouring in more all the time, helping the process along. But more than that too, he's pouring stuff out in all directions. Yeah. This is the key to why God created the universe in the first place. Not that he was lonely. Not like the Babylonian myth where God created people to be his slaves because he needed help and he wanted slaves, but to pour out the love which is already within him further so that other people could enjoy it. He created people to enjoy himself and his love. Contrast Hitler. You see, Hitler believed in God. Do you know what Hitler called God? The Almighty. Oh, Hitler must have been a Christian, wasn't he? He understood the doctrine that God is Almighty. Did he love the Lord Jesus? Did he love the Father? Was his life impelled by the Holy Spirit? Not at all. The starting point is not that we decide that there is a person who is Almighty. The starting point is who God has revealed himself to be, the Father. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's his nature, fatherhood. And he's like a fountain. Jeremiah chapter 2 talks about God's complaint of his people that they turned aside from the fountain of living water and had built themselves a cistern, like the top of a toilet, a broken cistern that couldn't even hold any water.
instead of the fountain. And you may have read a book called The Screwtape Letters, or you may not, by C.S. Lewis, in which he portrays a devil called Screwtape, a senior devil, and teaching a younger devil called Wormwood about how to tempt human beings. And Screwtape complains that God is so different from him, because what Screwtape, as Satan's representative, wants is cattle. He wants relationship of simply owning, using, and eventually devouring for his own private benefit people. That's the devil's work. Opposite to God, Screwtape was very upset that God simply wanted to share his love. He wanted to give. He wanted to be generous. He wanted more people like him, not people different from him that he could dominate. Such a contrast. This is God, the Father. He's like a son, if you want another metaphor, that gives light and light and life. Life and light and warmth. And actually, God the Father finds his whole identity in loving his son, giving out his life, and giving his very being to his son. And in our chapter, in verse 24, you may have heard that the Father loved the Son before the foundation of the world, before he made anything. So the Father, largely about giving. The Son, largely about receiving. It's a mystery. In the beginning of Hebrews, it says that the Son is the radiance of the Father's glory. So here's a different metaphor, that the Father is like a sun, a source of light. Like a lamp, when you switch it on, there's light coming out of it. And the Son is like that. The Father and the Son. The Father is like the lamp. The Son is like the light that comes out of the lamp. The two are always together. And the light is perfectly expressing the lamp. The Father delights in the Son. And remember at the baptism of Jesus and transfiguration of Jesus, the voice comes from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am delighted. And Jesus says in John 14 that I love the Father. So there's this wonderful relationship, both Father and Son, pouring their being, their essence into one another, boundlessly giving and receiving. Not exclusive. If there was only one God, only one person, there'd be no one else to love. If there are only two, it could be like a very selfish marriage. I remember my first marriage, in the sermon, the preacher, Tom Houston, prayed that our marriage would not be the most selfish thing imaginable, because there are some couples who think only of each other. I want to bless my spouse so that she'll bless me, and it's the two of us against the world, and we don't think of anyone else. But a third person who strengthens the love, encourages it, enhances it, and spreads it out to the universe, to the rest of the world, giving and receiving. This is the picture that we have of God, the God that we worship. So this love is not just two ways, but it's boundless, overflowing in all directions. This is the God that we love and worship. This is a good message, isn't it? A good message for us to pass on. This is the God we love, who loves us. And this is not sometimes the God that non-Christians realise we worship. They think we worship a God who's restrictive and unkind. We need to tell them what God is truly like, his identity. And the Spirit, he stirs up their mutual love. The verse that we began with, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the manner in which God's love is given to us freely, and the love of God, talking about the initiative that it comes from, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the one who causes the fellowship, who causes the interaction, who helps us to benefit from the interaction between these two. He passes on the fellowship, draws us into fellowship with the Father and with the Son. That's the prayer that we're praying, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So, if you don't listen to anything else I say, you can meditate on this glorious truth. And by the way, when David talks about meditating on the beauty of the Lord
And that's what his great passion is. He would have been meditating on whatever God had given him by revelation of the love within God. What is more beautiful than the love of God? What can be a greater beauty than a perfect love? So if you want to meditate on how the Father loves the Son, how the Son receives and gives back love to the Father, and how the Spirit is like a big circle around it all, and like a great powerhouse sending it all out, then that will be good enough.
So the Spirit. And in Luke 10, Jesus says, Jesus, full of joy in the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father. So even in the life of Jesus, the function of the Spirit was to give him joy in his worship of the Father, to inspire that joy. So creation, the very universe itself, is the overflow of God's love. The Spirit makes everything beautiful, creative, and fruitful. I found a wonderful verse in Job chapter 26 that you may not have come across before. Job 26:13, it says, by his Spirit the heavens are made beautiful. Ah, there's a little bonus. By the Holy Spirit. And literally that's what the Hebrew says. Translations may obscure it. Even my translation gives a different word. But Job 26:13, this is Job.
This is the character who is suffering enormous anguish. And Job 26 is one of Job's testimonies. He's just been rebuked or told he's useless by one of his so-called friends. But Job comes out with this wonderful, wonderful truth that by God's Spirit he makes even the heaven beautiful, heavens beautiful.
And of course the heavens can be referring to the starry sky that we see and also the dwelling of God. The Spirit makes these beautiful. So our God is wonderful. So your concept of Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And actually, it gives us clues. If we want to be like the Father, then let's cultivate this showing initiative and starting things, giving, being responsible.
That's the image of God, being like God the Father. If we want to be like God the Son, receive, respond. Receive love, respond to God's love. If you want to be like the Spirit, share God's love. Multiply God's love. Be fruitful and creative with God's love. So be like the Father, be like the Son, be like the Spirit.
So our God is wonderful. That was my first point, if I didn't make that clear enough. Our God is wonderful. Second point, God invites us into his own life. So God does more than just not punish us and forgive us and decide that, okay, he's wiped the slate clean, but we'd better be careful we don't sin again because, you know, God's still watching us. No, actually, he's far beyond that. He invites us to share his very life. God wants us to share that giving and receiving, sharing and giving out that he has within himself. So the Father who initiates and motivates, he delights to have someone else beside him. John, in the beginning of his gospel, says the Word was with God, which means face to face and moving towards. And later on in John chapter 1, he talks about the Son being in the bosom of the Father, in the most intimate part of the Father. So the Father takes the initiative. He loves us. I don't know if you noticed in our reading. No, you didn't, because it's in John 16, verse 27. See, I've discovered something else I didn't know. It says, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me. Oh, that's interesting.
If we love Jesus, the Father loves us especially more because we're loving the one that he really loves. So, focus our love on Jesus. And the Father is especially pleased and delighted because we're loving the one that he loves.
Furthermore, the Father is seeking a bride for his Son, which is the church. When we all get to glory, all of us put together, we're in some wonderful way, we become the bride of God's Son. Bridegroom. So there's a great wedding coming up that we're going to be part of. So he's a loving father seeking a perfect bride for the son that he loves. It blows the mind, doesn't it? I think we're part of that. And here's another extraordinary thing. In our passage three times, there's a gift that the father gives to the son. So just think about what's the finest gift that someone who's tremendously powerful and wise and loving could give to his son. Did you notice three times in our chapter, the gift is us. Verse 6. I manifested thy name, says Jesus to the Father, to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Verse 9. Jesus says to the Father, I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those who you have given me, for they are thine. So Jesus is saying, the Father himself has given us to him as a gift. We are the gift of God the Father to his Son. Is your mind boggling? And then in verse 24 again, when something is repeated three times, it's pretty important. Jesus says, Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me, so Jesus is saying, I want the people that you've given me, which is us, to be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory, which you've given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Jesus wants us with him, to enjoy him, to enjoy walking with him, to enjoy life with him, fellowship with him. We are created to respond as lovers. That's what Jesus is looking for. So there's the Father. He's inviting us into his own life. He initiates. The Son receives and he activates. Jesus said, I came to give you life in all its abundance. John 10, abundant life. And in our passage, you might have noticed in verse 3, this is eternal life, to know the Father and to know Jesus Christ. So life is about knowing the Father and knowing the Son. That's what life is truly. Jesus wants us to be with him. Of course, he came to rescue us because we'd set our love in the wrong direction. We'd set our love on ourselves instead of on his Son. So he sent his Son to bear all the consequences of that turning away and to rescue us. And Jesus says in John 14, I'm the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And the Holy Spirit, he completes this process. He stirs up love. He's a real stirrer. He stirs up the love. He keeps on refilling, pouring, all analogies fall down. But the God is dynamic, constant flow of love in all directions. The Holy Spirit is stirring it up. And he makes us know that God loves us. There's much too much for me to say. I'm going to have to wind up shortly. The Father has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So the Holy Spirit is the one who in our hearts makes us realise that God is our Father. He also makes us love the Lord Jesus. He warms our hearts to realise how lovely the Lord Jesus is. That's his work. Make us realise that God is our Father. Make us realise how lovely the Lord Jesus is. He opens our eyes. He warms our hearts. And the Holy Spirit brings the promises of Jesus into our minds and hearts. God is pouring his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. God is pouring his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I invite you to do a little practical meditation. You have two hands. And as you're sitting there comfortably, breathing comfortably, breath is a very gift from God. Breath and spirit, same word in the Greek and the Hebrew. Every time we breathe in, we're receiving a gift from God. And just realise we have two hands. Hands for giving and receiving. And I want you to, just for this little meditation, consider the Father, consider the Son, and connect one with each hand. When I say connect, I mean just allow your two hands, whichever way round it is, there's God the Father, there's God the Son. And
everyone does it in a very individual way. You may see something, feel something, sense something, or nothing at all. You may just work out with your mind, okay, I can have the right hand for Jesus, left hand for the Father. Whichever it is, just allow the Holy Spirit to... Now, what I want you to do is just notice and enjoy the presence of God, the Father, God the Son, and His love. In a moment, I'm going to invite you, as you breathe in, bring the hands together into your heart. When you're ready. And as you do this, this is an act of worship. We're saying, Father, thank you. You sent your Son. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. I acknowledge you. I affirm you. I receive you. And the Holy Spirit wonderfully links these two persons with one another and with me. And I receive your Spirit now, and now by faith I receive everything that the Father and the Son are giving me. So just as you breathe in, as it were, the Spirit breathing and inspiring, receive the love of the Father and the Son into your heart. And just hold that there for a moment or a few moments. And with gratitude and worship, with our hearts, with our minds, with whatever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Be aware that God is totally sufficient. Whatever issues we have, whatever deficiencies we have, He is totally sufficient, as we heard in our prayer earlier. So thank you, Father. We receive your sufficiency. We receive your abundance. Into our hearts. Into our hearts. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And we testify. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, you have done something today. You have given us something today. We have received something from you today. Thank you, Father. Please continue your work in us and through us and between us. And you know that the work of the Holy Spirit is to inspire fellowship among us. And after the service, it's wonderful if we share what God is giving us, what God is saying to us, what God is doing with us. So let's have a few more moments of quiet, and then when Maureen senses the time has come.